This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Grimm's far boards for Adam Gaudette. Turned it over in the slot. One-time chance for Mott. Then it's sent in front again. They score. What a pass down low from Connor Garland to Tyler Mott at the top of the crease after Gaudette coughed it up in the slot. Quinn Hughes brings it into the center and on left wing. Drops it to Horvat. Nice slot. Shoots. He scores. Bo Horvat from the top of the circle rips one past the glove side.
With the instant reaction from the players and coaches.
And Miller picking up speed from his own line. Brings it into the Ottawa zone. Beautiful move around Mete. Miller goes to the goal. He scores! End-to-end, JT Miller beats Philip Gustafson on the forehand.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks win. Yes, they do. Beating the Ottawa Senators after beating Montreal on Monday have now won two games in a row, only for the second time this season. How long will this win streak last? Can they keep pushing it? We will find out, beating the Ottawa Senators 6-2 in the nation's capital. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. It is Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar here on the postgame show. Canucks win 6-2 and a couple of beauties in this game. One from an unlikely source, Luke Shen. An inside-out move, goes top cheese. He scores a beautiful goal. And then JT Miller conjuring the spirit of Connor McDavid, dancing through an entire team's defense to score another goal to make it a 6-2 final for the Canucks. So, you know what we talked about? This season hasn't been fun. At least we can't even talk about entertainment. At least tonight was entertaining. Canucks win. But more than anything, it was an entertaining hockey game.
I'm going to post it to Twitter. We'll find out who had the better goal tonight, Luke Shen or JT Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You can cast your vote, again, at Bick650. We'll retweet it from the Sportsnet 650 account as well. So there you go. Like, that's your poll question for the evening. Obviously, there's other questions to have, but if you're looking for something awesome out of this game, it was what those two guys did. Luke Shen, I think, should win this poll, but you tell us who had the better goal tonight.
Yes, no doubt. A lot of texts coming in. Break some stuff like Bassman and Schaefer. See, it's all good. Sam and Lake Cowichan text in. So it all works out.
Everything is fine. Please disperse. Please disperse. Pay no attention to the previous five games.
I love this one. Hey, guys, please preface any comments about this game that it's only Ottawa. I think people understand that it's only Ottawa for the most part. All we can do is talk about the game tonight against the Ottawa Senators. And yeah, Montreal's not a good hockey team. Ottawa, not a good hockey team. And the Canucks have beaten those teams in two straight games, and they were clearly the better team. Yeah. It's not good teams. But what can you do except take advantage of the opponents that you face? And the Canucks, well, they had a game tonight they kind of needed. Yeah, you beat Montreal. You needed a victory after all the losses you've had as a group. But tonight, it was get loose night a little bit too. I wouldn't call it a slump buster night quite, but we talked about Bo Horvat in the second intermission. He's struggled. He's been snake bit. We went over the numbers, how his shooting percentage dipped down. He's missing the net on a lot of chances. And he rifled one past the keeper as well tonight. So you're seeing him get one. You saw JT Miller do his thing a little bit, right? And even Alex Chiasson, who's been much maligned this season, and I understand. I get frustrated too when I see him thrown out on the power play a lot. But for a guy who's making $750K, he's now up to 6 points on the season. He's got three power play goals, ties him for the team lead alongside Elias Pettersson. The issue is not Chiasson. The issue might be the usage of Chiasson.
Sure.
But for a guy making $750K, I know people get frustrated by him, but he's doing what he's getting paid to do.
If he gets to 10 goals, you're going to look back and say, you know what? For $750K, that's kind of what you want. And by the way, that's exactly what a lot of people expected. 10 goals, 12 goals maybe, featured on the power play. Nobody really expected him to play top 6 minutes. And early on in the season, a couple of injuries, you had to play him. I'm not even sure if you had to play him, but he did play in top 6 minutes, and I think that caught a lot of the ire. Do I think he should be on the first power play unit? Probably not, but again, that's a usage question. Alex Chiasson's not going to refuse it and say, hey, you know what's better for the team, Travis? Someone else on the top power play unit right now. You get tapped on the shoulder, you're going to go play. And at the end of the year, if he winds up with 13 goals, I think that's what he's on pace for now, you look at that and you say, yeah, successful. Now, what measure of success did that matter in the scope of the season? Different conversation. But just from a transaction point of view, if you get 13 goals out of Alex Chiasson, if you get 10 goals out of Alex Chiasson, you would say, yeah, that's a good move. Goals are hard to come by in the league.
I forget who the player was on Italy's national team when they were playing Sweden. Remember, to qualify for the Euro. And they didn't go...
working with Dan Riccio all
yeah.
of a sudden?
But long story, I think it was Rossi. So they instead of putting like a attacker in, they're trying to get a goal late, they go to Rossi, and he's looking, he's pleading, he's like, don't put me in! Put somebody in that can score!
Right.
I mean, that's what I was thinking about Chiasson. He's not going to say that, but I mean, that's the only time I can think of in big stakes where somebody's like, no, I don't want to play. Put somebody else in there. It doesn't usually happen. You tap a guy on the shoulder, he'll step up and play. That's usually what happens. A lot of good reaction coming in on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. 650-650. Jordan in the Ridge. It's time to trade Miller. His value will never be higher. Well, that's one way to look at it. Pardeep texts in and says, yes, it's been two bottom feeders. But you want to know how you go on a win streak? You win one game, and then you win the next one, and then you win another one after that. In a league where the loser point matters so much, you have to win the hard games and the easy ones as well. That is Pardeep. And, you know, in fairness to everything, Bick, what do we say about games in Buffalo and in Detroit?
Missed opportunities.
You got to take advantage of your opportunities. And we criticize them for not. So when you do take advantage of your opportunities, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. They're two bad teams anyways. It doesn't mean you're out of it. I'm not sitting here and saying they're going to go streaking. They're going to win on Saturday. And there's a team that's figured it out. And it is all sunshine and rainbows from this point on. No, all you've done is win two games. It doesn't mean anything unless you keep this going. But you can't take the victories away from them, even if it is lower opponents, when we've been criticizing them for not taking advantage of lowly opponents this season.
I think me more than others, too. I'm sort of adopting a theory where you separate the NHL into 31 different buckets, and you got to extract points from each of these buckets, and not getting it from Detroit and Buffalo to say, hey, we need three or four versus these teams, and you can't do it anymore. Well, you'll go up against Montreal. You suddenly now, over the course of a season, have to extract 4 points out of Montreal. Well, you got two so far, so you're on track. Against Ottawa, you got to get 4 points out of them. Their next chance will be January 8th when Ottawa comes here. This is what the Canucks are relegated to. It's you've missed opportunities early on the season against inferior opponents, and you're not going to maximize your output versus the Detroits and Buffalo. So how do you make up that difference? You got to do it against Montreal. You got to do it against Ottawa. Previously, you would say, hey, if you get 3 or 4 versus them, that's something that's positive. You now have to get 4 and 4. And look, what do they do? They go get these 2 wins, 8 goals total, 3 against, something that's to build upon. And yeah. and all you can do is, hey, what's the next game? That's all you can really do. They can't look at this and say, all right, well, we did that road trip, and now we got a 7-game homestand coming up. No, all they have to focus on is how do we get 2 points out of Pittsburgh? And then if they do that, how do we get 2 points out of LA? How do we get 2 points out of Boston? The players have put themselves in this situation where you can't look at the scope of a season and say and talk about playoffs. You just have to approach the next game and say, how do I get 2 points?
Well, that's really what it all is. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. You're toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. We're going streaking. That's one text that's coming in. Tonight was just a blow to our Shane Wright odds. So a lot of that type of mentality, right? Grimace and Ladner is fired up. Here we go, excited. Others, I'm not happy. Benning needs to go. So you're getting a bit of everything. There are fans right now who all they care about is change in the organization. If anything, the victories probably make them feel worse about things because they think that means change will not happen. Hey, listen, we are in all bets are off territory. Who knows what happens the next couple of days here, Thursday and Friday, when the Canucks come back home. But we'll see. I'm not sure what these wins necessarily mean in the big picture if you don't keep it going.
I believe, as far as the thought of We've worsened our odds for Shane Wright. I don't believe their odds changed at all today because they were on a 37 points percentage. They've extracted that much. I don't think they closed the gap on anyone. I don't think they surpassed the Islanders. So I think they're on the same pace as they were the other day. So their odds didn't necessarily change.
Yes, this one from Satyar Shah. Let's keep our heads up and enjoy the wins we can get.
You texted in?
Apparently. It's signed. Right. It's attributed to me. This one says, fire Satyar. He's a very negative person. So, again, I'm getting it on both ways, too, just like the team is getting it. So, either way. Either it's too positive, too negative. It's fine. Speak to us. It's we are here to talk to you. 650-650 is our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. And you can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. When I'm looking at going above this now, into the game on Saturday against the Pittsburgh Penguins, none of us know what's going to happen before that game. But on home ice, you're coming back from a five-game road trip. How much of this translates? How much of this can carry over, really?
You hope a fair bit. Again, just it's not even necessarily about the style of play that you want to see carry over, because I do think the tempo of this game was probably a bit lower than you see across the league. Mm-hmm. It's just more of the sigh of relief to say, all right, we got another win, and now this is two in a row. Just to ease the burden on the players right now. That's what you have to carry over. The mentality has to carry over of success. And winning should breed more success. That's life. The successes roll into each other. That's what they have to take away. As far as systems and styles of plays and all that sort of stuff, again, for all the people that want to text in, yeah, but it was Ottawa. Okay, like that's the part where you look at and say, how much of this is actually translatable into a game versus Pittsburgh? There's going to be questions about that because they just lost to Pittsburgh 4-1. So as far as on-ice component, I don't know how much there's going to be to translate over.
Yeah.
This, to me, is all about mental.
Yes, right? I mean, the biggest hurdle this team has had seems to be between the ears, right?
Yeah.
Confidence as well. How do you feel about all these things? I think all those factors are big ones. The much maligned Travis Green, 2 wins in a row, and here he is at the podium.
I think it does a lot. No, I think it kind of validates the way our team played both the two games, the two losses before. And when you're talking to your team, telling them to believe and stay with it, you know, it's nice to see them get the results.
Results power play time, too. What does that mean for those guys?
Yeah, not just the power play, the penalty kill, too. So the penalty kill has been taking a lot of heat. And they got some big kills tonight.
Is there
a momentum
individually after this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't have a team that, we're not worried about individual points. We're not worried about any of that. We're worried about winning hockey games. And anytime you win, obviously, you get 6 goals. There should be guys that get points. Yeah, they did. I mean, it's nice goal. Yeah, they were very. It's nice goal. Yeah, I think it was a big part of the game. You know, crucial part really. And you know, I'm happy for the penalty coach. They have been taking a lot of heat, and rightfully so. It hasn't been great this year, but hopefully that's the start of turning it. I can. I mean, I think if you're honest about the 5 games, probably go 3-1-1 at worst for how we played, and then there's going to be some nights where you just don't win and you play well. But again, like when you talk to your team, and especially when you're not winning, you try to be honest with them about where they need to improve and if they're playing well or not. And they've done a good job listing in areas that we think we need to improve, but also keeping their belief and their work ethic and their compete level high. And it's nice to see it come together tonight. I mean, it's nice. Guys get excited, but it's not about one guy scoring a goal or, you know, Shen's a good player. We're not surprised that he scored a goal, and he's been playing well for us. But, you know, I think the bench does get a little excited when he scores, and especially a goal like that. But at the end of the day, it always comes back to resetting and getting ready to play again and talk about not letting down when you have the lead. We haven't played a whole lot with the lead this year, and I thought, you know, the guys did a good job in the third period, and we've given up five shots.
It's a process all the time.
Yeah.
It's a substitute. No difference around just the feeling of the team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you go in a room after the game and you win like that, you're the guys are excited. But I haven't felt a whole lot of letdown from our team. I think they know that they're right there. They've been there. We've lost so many one-goal games that it's not like they've just been losing and being outplayed. So they've done a good job keeping their belief and their confidence level high. And, to finish the trip with two wins was important for our group.
That's
what you just played in outside of the goal, just in terms of air balance, control play, 5-on-5.
Is that a position that there's almost just a little bit of
so I'll just watch next game,
answer. Thank you so much.
That is Canucks head coach Travis Green. Some audio difficulties, and this is something that keeps happening on Zoom. And I know people, they call in, it's like, what's going on with these things? When it comes to the media availability,
it's
like
not
that,
Zoom. I think it's the in-house on the road.
It's part of, because you do part of it in person, and yeah, part of it is on Zoom. But everything comes out of the rinks.
Yes.
So because of those dual broadcast things, more often than not, we seem to have issues with the coach's audio post-game. But not much we can do in today's day and age, it seems, especially with these things being handled with less staff being around from the arena. But we'll try to clean some of that up and get more detail as to what Travis Green had to say after the Canucks beat the Senators 6-2 in Ottawa to win back-to-back games for the second time this season. Can they keep this win streak going? Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Your toll free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll have time to get to one call here. We'll take more on the other side. Let's go to North Van, where Stuart is on the line. Stuart, thanks for calling in, man. What do you have for us tonight?
Oh, you guys, it's been a while since I've called in and haven't felt this huge dread of a cloud over my head. So it's nice to actually, I had to double check. I checked my Sportsnet app, I checked YouTube, I checked the Canucks website. They yes, did indeed win tonight.
Yes.
But it's funny, just checking the box score, I can't remember the last time a Canucks D-man had a 4-point, let alone a 3-point night. So it's great to see. I know on Sportsnet, on the radio earlier today, they were talking about, like, you know, there's still another gear for Hughes to shift into. And I think tonight we saw that bit of that bubble playoff year Hughes, which is great to see, because going forward, he's got to be a guy, you know, a straw that stirs the drink. And I want to hear your thoughts, just like, regardless of how this year turns out, like, we miss the playoffs, we squeak in, get knocked out first round. When it comes to around the trade deadline, like, unless the Canucks have changed, like, a coach or a GM at that point, how do you see it playing out? Because if Benning's still in charge, but he's thinking he's still on the hot seat, like, will he do any moves whatsoever? Because for him, what does next year even mean? Mm. So I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. All right, have a good night.
Thanks for the phone call, Stuart. And the question, just so I get it properly here, Bick, was about Jim Benning here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like I said, I don't know if anything appreciably has really changed with these victories here, right? Like, depending on what the organization has done, if they've already decided that they are going to move forward with something different, I'm not sure this changes anything. And even if the Canucks win a few in a row here, this is what we mentioned. For the Canucks, just to kind of get back to 500, they got to win 6 more games in a row after tonight, just to get to 500 or slightly above. Now, like Terry and Mission pointed out on the text inbox, you can do that in different segments and still get to 500. But the longer it takes you to get to 500, the longer and harder it's going to be for you to really get into the playoff race. So my point is, these games in the moment right now, I'm not sure it really changes too much as far as the long-term planning. Now, if they win on Saturday and they don't make a move by then and they keep going, it's like 5 or 6 game winning streak, perhaps. But I see a lot of this stuff here about, oh, now they're going to, you know, double down on this team moving forward just because they won 2 in a row. I'm not sure that's going to necessarily be the case.
Just to kind of illustrate what's happened so far this season, they're now on a 61.5 point pace. So they're essentially 20 points below 500. To get to a stage of where you're talking about, to get to, you know, playoffs, to change the perception.
Yes, yeah, so head into next year. Yeah. So to answer the question, so it's like that you head into next year to continue this going, that you don't change kind of course. There's going to, I mean, the amount of work that has to be done for that team and become a consideration, it's not impossible, but it would have to be a bigger, wilder run than we saw from the Blues, and it would have to essentially be the hottest hot streak for any team in the cap era to make the postseason.
Yes. That, like, that's essentially what they've put themselves in.
Yeah, that's just the reality of getting to 94 points,
and
what
we
has
know,
to happen.
And we
yeah.
know what the bar was this season was playoffs. So anything that comes short of that is going to bring up those conversations of people's job security, most notably Jim Benning.
So
again,
just,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so again, so people asking, does this mean everybody's safe after a couple of games? There's so much more they have to do to make anybody safe that I'm not sure you need to worry about that right now, if you're worried about it, that is. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Grab a phone line as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. As the Canuck Central postgame show rolls on, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. Canucks win 6-2 over the Sens. Come back home to begin a homestand on Saturday against the Pens. We'll continue the conversation on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now, more of the Kintec Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. Join the discussion. Text us at 650-650 or call us at 604-280-0650. This is the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Now Miller picking up speed from his own line. Brings it into the Ottawa zone. Beautiful move around Mete. Miller goes to the goal. He scores! End-to-end, JT Miller beats Philip Gustafson on the forehand, a power play goal for the Canucks, and a beauty. Makes it 6-2 with 2:50 left in the third.
Two wins in a row and two beautiful goals in this game. One from JT Miller, you just heard Brendan Batchelor describe. The other one, Luke Shen, an absolute beauty of a goal. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Go to Bick's Twitter at Bick650 to see the poll. You can vote which goal was the more impressive one, Luke Shen's or JT Miller. And early results were, well, they are kind of going to JT Miller because he did his best Connor McDavid impersonation on that beauty.
For sure. However, Luke Shen's goal was the game-winning goal.
It was.
So
it was.
That counts for something. And the Ottawa defenders were checked out.
Yeah, but apparently Travis was not surprised that Luke Shen scored. That's what he said in the postgame. But he said, yes, obviously gave the team a big, big boost. Before we go to the phone boards, 604-280-0650, your toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's take a look at our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And you know, there's a question here from Derek in Vancouver. When Hamonic gets reinstated into the lineup, I think Pullman should be scratched instead of Shen. Is this something you could see happening? So I'd keep Shen in, especially with how he's played, over Pullman. But based on the ice time, I think Burrows is the guy that comes out. So if anything happens here, it is Kyle Burrows that comes out. I think you probably still see Tucker Pullman. I'm not against taking Pullman out. I think he's really struggled in recent games, and we talked about that in one of the intermissions as well. But he played 3 minutes and 11 seconds on the PK tonight, which was more than any other Canucks defenseman. So when he's being used more than anybody on the Canucks defense on the PK, I doubt he's the guy that comes out of the lineup. So if you're predicting who makes way for Hamonic on Saturday, I don't think it's Pullman. I don't think it's Shen. I think it's most likely Kyle Burrows, who played 12 minutes and 45 seconds tonight, which was a whole 4 minutes less than Shen and a whole 5 minutes less than Tucker Pullman.
Which makes all the sense in the world. And look, part of it is talent, part of it is contract, and part of it is comfort level. Mm-hmm. No, Kyle Burrows has played well in his role.
For what he's asked to do.
And,
yeah.
Tucker Pullman has more responsibilities. Now, does he thrive in those responsibilities as much as people like? No, but it goes in order of depth chart.
Who's
the last guy on the depth chart? It is Kyle Burrows.
When guys like that, who are essentially third pair defensemen or perhaps depth defensemen, there is a there are diminishing returns the more they play. And just because Burrows looks better than Pullman right now, playing less and more sheltered minutes doesn't mean he would handle Pullman's minutes better than Pullman, right? I think you're right. I think pointing that out is a really important factor because you see oftentimes, right, where a third pair of defensemen who gets sheltered has really good numbers. You see it all the time around the National Hockey League. Heck, that happened with Troy Stetcher here a couple years back. Playing sheltered minutes, his numbers looked terrific. But as soon as he got elevated playing top 4 minutes, bigger role, he got caved in. So playing a sheltered third pair role is a lot different from playing a, you know, hard minutes in a top four role. Now, I don't think Pullman is excelling in that role. The question, though, that the coaching staff is trying to determine is he still going to do better than a guy like Cal Burrows? So to answer Derek's question, I would guess that Pullman stays in the lineup, so does Shen, and we see Burrows come out on Saturday.
Makes all sense in the world. Makes all sense in the world. So long as they all can support Quinn Hughes, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, well, that's
was this? Was this the quietest four-point night in a while?
For him, yeah. I mean,
just anyone in general.
And you know what I think, too, though, with Quinn Hughes' game this year? We've noticed his skating's a bit stronger, right? He's a bit more dynamic. He's a bit more powerful in his skating. He's making up ground faster. But he's kind of become a little boring at times. And I mean this as a compliment. That he's just super effective and efficient and doesn't feel like he's got to do a lot to be efficient, right? I think we're seeing some real maturity in his game, especially defensively in how he's playing and the less mistakes he makes. And despite the fact that he may not look quite as dynamic as he has in the past trying to make more moves, he's just as productive and he's been better defensively this year. This could be part of the evolution we're seeing here from Quinn Hughes this season. And we talked about this early in the year. It looked like he leveled up. I think you were seeing more and more evidence of that as the season goes on.
And a quick little stat update. Asked our friends over at Sportsnet Stats to look it up. The last time a Canucks D-man had 4 points, Alex Edler in 2009 versus Chicago, 1 goal and 3 assists. So that was the last Canucks 4-point night from the blue line. Quinn Hughes taking over for the last best Canucks D-man.
Not too bad. Moving up. Marcus and Gibson's Pullman does have one of the highest plus minuses on the team, even though he fails the eye test and a lot more text coming in. We'll get to those as the show goes on here. But as promised, let's go to the phone board. 604-280-0650. You're toll free. 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Courtney, where our friend Wayne is on the line. Wayne, thanks for calling in. What do you have now for us after the Canucks won 2 in a row?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for the lovely Lena taking my call.
Yes.
I've got 2 points, and I'll make them very quick. I don't want to, you had a good run there, or thanks for your passionate rant. Gary mentioned last night about family, and he's right. The club is only as strong as its members and the fan base. First point, to the players, you won 2 games in a row, hold your head up high, build your confidence, and mentally think positive and try your very best. Second point, this is to the Vancouver faithful that live everywhere in Canada, Vancouver City, and even Vancouver Island, and I speak from my heart and I speak for myself. If you're truly a diehard Canuck, if you're really in your heart for these guys, you'll stick with them no matter what. Even if they don't make the playoffs, you will consider them your family. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks for the phone call. That is Wayne and Courtney calling in.
It's a good jog.
Yes.
Good jaunt.
Good
there,
jaunt.
Buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Brisk pace. I like
good,
it.
Good hustle on that call.
Yeah. I like it. Get in, get out. Keep it short and sweet. Good. Keep those thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. But let's go back to the phone boards. We go to Pat in North Van. Pat, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, hey, guys. I was just going to say, when you look at any organization, hockey or professional company, when there's systemic problems, it's usually from the top down. And if we go back 8 or 9 years ago when Aquilini had a public relations problem from the Tortorella hiring and Gillis and all the turmoil that went with that, he hires Trevor Linden, who's a fan favorite and a good guy, by all impressions. And Trevor has no experience running a team. And then Trevor goes out and he hires Jim Benning, who's got a good track record in terms of scouting, but not a lead GM. No experience running a team, you know, managing a cap, you know, having a plan that's, you know, a 5-year plan. And given the fact that Aquilini wanted to build on the fly and him agreeing to do that, and not building through the draft and being patient. And then they hire a coach in Willie Desjardins, who has no head coaching experience. At least I don't think he did. And that didn't work out too well. And then they hire a minor league coach with no NHL experience. And, you know, here we sit 4 years later. I actually think Jim's done. When you look, compare him to the past GMs and his predecessor in Gillis, I think Gillis made the Horvat trade, I guess. And, you know, he had a couple, you know, really, really unsuccessful draft time. I mean, he did inherit kind of a full chest, and he was a full team.
Yeah. Thanks for the phone call there, Pat. I think the general point here was,
I'm not sure. There was like a lot of facts there.
Yes. I mean, I think what Pat was trying to get at here was hiring with experience as opposed to inexperience. And kind of talked about the guys they've gone after. And I think if you're looking at who they could hire or whatever, right? And I think that's the point that Pat was getting at is, are you going to bring somebody else in who hasn't done it before? Or what is going to try to be, you know, your vision moving forward here ultimately? And we'll see what happens. And if we see the Canucks more closely linked to guys who are first-time GMs, then I wouldn't say expect more of the same, but you might be going through the same playbook you've gone through in the past, right? And if you're looking for guys that are, you know, up-and-comers, don't have as much experience, they don't cost as much either. So what are you trying to get? How much are you willing to invest in it? So the guys the Canucks get linked to, I think that could be telling in that sense.
Yeah, I'm always curious about stuff like that too, because like it's, you know, past behavior indicates future behavior, and mm-hmm. you hire first time GMs and first time coaches. What is the genesis of those ideas? Is it done because you can keep the contracts low and experience pays, or is it because you think you've unearthed a future gem? And you know, that to me is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Because all the scuttlebutt is, you know, looking for the next person. Is the search being conducted exhaustive? And are you going through experienced candidates as well?
And that's the thing, right? And I think it'll be very instructive about how much investment is going to go in if you're making a change, depending on who you're going after.
And also the totality of the infrastructure that you build out. Because I don't necessarily agree with you have to have someone with experience, but are you going to have experienced people around them,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's fine to say, hey, this is the person we want to run our team. And if they're inexperienced,
yeah.
do you put more people around them and build out an entire front office, president, all the people that need to go around one person who's making decisions? Do you build a robust front office? So you look at some other teams,
yes.
there's like four assistant GMs, and everyone's plying their trade, everyone's pulling the same rope to try to build towards success. It's all well and good to single out one candidate, but what are their strengths? And more importantly, how are you complementing their weaknesses around them?
Well, that's the thing. That's more. It's not about having as many people in. It's just about, like you said, people in roles they can handle and having support for those, for roles. You don't want to have people in roles where they're doing more than they're capable of doing.
Most notably right now, like, Jim Benning's not great at talking with the media. That's fine. Like,
if you have somebody else that can do it.
Yes.
And yes, I understand what you
people
mean.
People have flaws, and it's not a fundamental requirement. I think communication is important, but it's not a fundamental requirement if there's someone else doing it.
Yes.
So you have to think of all the traits an organization needs. How are you filling in all the gaps? And how are you at least an 8 out of 10 in all the traits? It doesn't all need to be one person. And that's the thing that, if they're going to make changes, this ownership group needs to consider. You can't just rely on five people to get it all done when there's gaps, clear and obvious gaps and failings in their skill sets.
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing. A lot of reaction on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, also on Twitter. Tony says, you guys are planning the funeral before the patient is dead. Macabre. We're answering a question. Pat and Northman called in and talked about management. We're answering the question about the inexperience and what they might do moving forward. So that's what's going on. Keep getting your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. Let's go to Ottawa, where Brian Carroll and Cam traveled all the way from Vancouver to watch their Canucks, and they got a W. Well, thanks for calling in. How good do y'all feel tonight?
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Oh, my gosh.
It has been quite the season this year. My son and I have been season ticket holders now for 10 straight years, and this season has been a bit of a low, but it was worth the trip to Ottawa to see the Canucks come from that pretty lousy string of losses and to see them in numbers pull out a really big win. We were among hundreds of Vancouver Canucks fans in the Ottawa Arena, and it was fantastic.
Well, yeah, we could hear. Yeah, we could hear the fans. Yeah,
I'm an Ottawa fan. I live in Ottawa, and it was a great game. I'm not very happy, but it was a great game.
Well, it was fun. It was a lot of back and forth, right? And you know, you guys have been watching the Canucks play. Entertainment hasn't quite been there. So tonight, the Canucks got the W, Carol, and it was fun to watch too. And six goals. Who would have thought?
It was so amazing, and the feeling in the crowd. I hope the Canucks could feel the love. Really, it was intense.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Get home safe. Happy travels back to Vancouver. You know what? That's a trip worth it. You travel to Ottawa and you watch the Canucks win. You have to leave Vancouver to see the Canucks win.
Hey, 2 points is 2 points is 2 points.
Yes.
If it's in Vancouver, if it's in New York, if it's in Montreal, if it's in Ottawa, if it's in Sweden, it's just nice to see 2 points. So I'm glad the trip was rewarded as such.
Yes, no doubt about it. A lot of good reaction in a text inbox. Brandon and Poco, the Canucks won another game. Should the Rioters start planning their route downtown, as in the Stanley Cup parade yet
again?
Let's
calm down.
I'm not sure. Peter says, you have all been praising OEL's play this season. He's been fine, a defensive presence. But based on the contract, Luke Shen, in 14 less games played, has more points, more hits, better plus-minus than OEL. Didn't Jim say OEL would be their number one D-man? Do you think his stats justify that contract? That is Peter texting in. The one thing you also have to keep in mind is the degree of difficulty that OEL is playing. They're playing hard matchup minutes. Myers and OEL are playing those minutes every single game. And tonight, you know who had the most ice time of any Canuck? Was OEL and Myers. And they had more ice time than Hughes. And at even strength, nobody played more than Myers and OEL. It's more about the minutes. I agree that Luke Shen's been fine. You put Luke Shen with OEL, though, played tough minutes. I don't know if that pairing's going to have as much success, right? I understand what Peter's point is, and when you are getting paid as much as OEL is getting paid and the numbers aren't quite there production-wise, point-wise, and I think that's the other thing he pointed to, I can understand, but I don't think OEL's been a problem. And if you look at what OEL's being asked to do, he's been essentially asked to be a shutdown defensive top-pairing defenseman. And when you're playing that role, offense isn't quite going to be a big part of your game, and he's playing second-unit power play time. Hey, is he earning, you know, the contract for 6 years, for the next 6 years based on how he's played? Maybe you can quibble with that. But I don't think OEL has really been a problem this year. I think if you look at the minutes he's playing and how hard those minutes are, he's playing some of the toughest minutes in the league, him and Myers this year.
And also, if you're looking for just pure statistical production, well, he's not on power play one, right? And that plays a role in this. Now, he's featured here and there, but when he has been racking up a lot of points in Arizona, he also played on the power play and was their main offensive facilitator, 5-on-5. Quinn Hughes exists. Quinn Hughes did not exist in Arizona. So he got to be put into a lot more offensive situations to what you're talking about, Sat. And also, like, the Canucks forwards have just been so snake-bitten through and through the roster.
Well, and when Luke Shen, when he hasn't played with Quinn Hughes, has really struggled. He really has. You look at the games he hasn't played with Quinn, he has struggled in that regard. That just shows you how good Quinn is, though. When he's at his best, those two guys do complement one another.
And while the overall points might not be there, as far as shot creation, and this is also a complaint of mine of how often Canucks D-men shoot, whether that's by functionality or by design or just by player trait, Oliver Ekman-Larsson does lead the team in shots.
Yeah. He gets a lot of shots.
Yeah.
He's
at 68. Connor Garland's at 65.
And speaking of Connor Garland,
we've been highlighting his playmaking, and it's been phenomenal. But Oliver Ekman-Larsson has shot the puck a ton so far this season.
Yeah, Peter says these people do know the caliber of team the Canucks were playing, right? And this one, I think, is Tanbeer. This call sounds scripted, like Francesco paid these guys. I don't know. That's
just
what happened. The Canucks have won two in a row. So
just a nice group of people watching out the game and just tearing into them. Come on, guys.
This one, unsigned text. Gilman for president. Oh, Gil. So that's the text. All right, let's go back to the phone board. 604-280-0650, you're toll-free. 1-888-275-0650. We go to Vancouver, where Colton is on the line. Colton, thanks for calling in. And what do you have for us after the Canucks beat the Sens 6-2 tonight?
Hi, quick 2 points here. One, keep Shen in the lineup. Two, a team has to battle through a lot. We have 10 new players in the lineup, and it's going to take a lot of time for them to figure out how to play right. But they've all been underperforming. At the whole time, they've never left Travis's green side. They believe in his vision. And I think that they're just grinding through it. It takes time. And here we're starting to see in the last four games that they're starting to play right. They're starting to play the way they need to. I don't think this is the time to remove the coach. The players are starting to be accountable for each other. And that's what's most important. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. That is Colton calling in. And if we're evaluating how the Canucks are playing stylistically, I still don't love it, right? Like, if you look at these last two games, and hey, full credit. Again, I'm not taking anything away from the Canucks winning these two games. We gave them full credit beating Montreal. They were the better team tonight, full stop. Tonight was actually better than the Habs game, because even though I thought the Canucks were the better team, at evens, they're pretty much even in chance creation. High danger chance creation. Montreal had an extra chance than Vancouver, but pretty close, and Canucks did a lot of good things, so you give them credit for it. Tonight was a bit better. 11 versus 7 high danger chances for the Canucks. And I do think the last two games, there has been a bit more straight-ahead play, and they have been a bit more adventurous with how they play. But for me to buy into them growing, and not just working hard, because working hard is one thing, but growing is another thing. For me to buy into them growing and becoming a better team, you got to see that process continue. On Saturday, the next game, and if we start seeing them create more chances, those chance creation numbers peak up. They were at a number at about, they're creating about 7 high danger chances a game. The last couple of games were at 9 and 11. So you're seeing that grow up a little bit. So if this style, as time goes on, you create more than you give up, and you're getting better chances in transition, then I can start listening to the conversation about not only is Travis having these guys work hard, but he's finally getting them to play the system and having success with it. I'm not sure these two games, though, tell us what we need to know about the system buy-in and the system success. I think we're going to have to see that over the next few games. But from the starting point of effort, you can't fault them for that. Right now, they are playing for the team.
The quality competition, again, this is where that conversation gets brought up again. Ottawa's had their host of troubles throughout the course of the season. COVID and all this sort of stuff. So you took care of business, for sure. What's Pittsburgh going to look like? Right? Because Sidney Crosby comes to town. That is a team that can play with some pace. Now, they don't necessarily threaten on the power play quite as well as you would think. But nevertheless, that's a team that can play fast and can play compact from the back end. L.A., right? They're an exciting team to some degree. They're above 500 right now. What are they going to play like? And then, hey, it's this quality competition. Like, Boston's going to come in. We've seen Winnipeg. Well, another game against Winnipeg in 9 days. Carolina's going to come in. Columbus is going to make you earn it. San Jose, Toronto. Like, these are going to be some difficult games coming up. And so if you get through that stretch,
playing hard but also playing well.
Yes. It's going to take eight to nine more games for me. Maybe other people are ready to buy in and say, hey, yeah, this is the guys there, and they're turning it around and all that sort of stuff.
But well,
For me to honestly say that, it's going to take another 8 to 9 games.
That's for us to say?
Yes.
The people making the decisions on this team? I can't speak for them.
Which is why we keep saying, and you coined this phrase, all bets are off. A-B-A-O.
A-B-O-O. All bets A-O. Yeah, A-O.
I know an acronym. Don't question my authority on this.
I thought you said oh, but no. It was me hearing it wrong. It's on me. I just realized it was my error. I own it. My fault. My bad.
Thank you.
I sat on the wrong chair.
Thank you.
Not good vibes.
Yeah, thank you for that accountability.
Didn't get good vibes. A lot of texts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. This one, interesting how the season ticket holder is positive while your usual callers who don't spend a dime continue to slag the team. Who do you think Francesco is listening to? okay, fair point as far as sometimes fans that don't show up to games might be louder on social media or whatever. But I can say, and to those listening to the post-game show, you know it too, what fans calling in after the games, fans saying they're season ticket holders, expressing a lot of dismay and anger this season as well. So I get the point, and that is something the organization has felt, though. And I mentioned this, weeks ago. I'm like, the thing they care more about is how are season ticket holders reacting, right? How are they reacting in the rink? How many buys are happening? How many renewals are happening? How do the season ticket holders feel? That's really the biggest indicator for ownership, usually, as far as fan, you know, angst goes. But I will say, if the barometer is fans calling in who say they're ticket buyers or not, a lot of ticket buyers have been very, very angry calling into the show this season.
Of course.
So it's been a bit of both, yeah, as far as the season goes. We'll keep the conversation going. Grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And also sending your thoughts to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. More of your reaction, and we are going to hear from Canucks players, including Connor Garland. What did he say? I got the sense so riled up. We'll try to find out as the Canucks Central postgame show rolls on, presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintech can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. More coming up on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Freeway Mazda has been here. From your high school ride to the sporty crossover of your 20s to your first real family vehicle. Because they know you. Locally owned and operated, they dang near are you. That's why they offer easy online purchases, transparent pricing, and no hidden fees. Their reputation speaks for itself. But in case you can't hear it, thousands of reviews say Freeway Mazda is Dealer Raider's number one Mazda dealer in Canada. Just over the Portman, Surrey's home of Zoom Zoom.
Welcome back to the Kintech Footwear and Orthotics Canucks postgame show. This is where you talk Canucks on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, it was just, good clean faceoff win, and, Huggy snapped it over, and, I just tried to kind of move my feet a little bit and had a step on the guy, and a bit of a chip shot over the glove there, and, they don't happen very often. I don't know when's the last time I would have scored one like that, but usually I'm, checking to see who shin pad went off of before it goes in. So I was lucky to get one like that tonight.
Luke Shen, even joking about his goal, usually it goes off a shin pad or something, but no, this was a beauty. Top cheese. Fantastic.
Luke Humble Shen.
Very humble. Very humble for a fifth overall pick. And Canucks win 6-2 in Ottawa. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. I saw this tweet from Rob on Twitter, who says he's been listening to Senators postgame on the drive home because he lives in Ottawa, and says, it's ugly. People want to strip Tkachuk of the sea, hire Torts. They are devastated. The Canucks smoke them. So it kind of just shows you, because people were here, we were talking about how the Canucks have an opportunity against a bad team. Well, based on how the Canucks have performed this season, other opponents look at the Canucks as an opportunity to win against a bad team, right? So the reaction there is very disappointing that they lost to a team like the Vancouver Canucks.
A team like that? Is that what's happening? Woo! Have they finally earned that label from the Ottawa Senators now?
owning it back.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that quote from Doughty, has that like aged well then?
Doughty was right. Doughty knew.
Drew knew. Shouldn't be losing to a team like that. It's like 2 years removed. You're like, yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
But yeah, hey, different cities, different vibes. Vancouver Canucks don't have 9 points after 20 games. And a season, look, they had some hope, too. And honestly, that forward group is going to be devastating at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It might take some time, but that Senators forward group, like, there's so many players. When they get into the offensive zone, you see it. It's like, oh, yeah, they can be exciting. Batherson, Tkachuk, Norris, Stutzel. Like, you just kind of go through that whole group there. That is going to be a fun team at some point. And much like the Vancouver Canucks, they need to sort out the back end. But make no mistake, those Senators are going to be a fun team. Who else am I missing there? Gaudette, Formanton is a fun player. Or sorry, not Gaudette.
Gaudette. Hold up. Time out.
Are
you believing in crystals too?
I meant to
Crystal Truther Bic Nazar?
I meant to say Connor Brown.
Wow.
And the caw got stuck in my mouth and I said Gaudette instead of Connor Brown.
Wow.
All right. Connor Brown was the guy
Adam
I meant.
Gaudette. They found a core player on waivers? Wow. They didn't know Bic was such a Gaudette stan.
Nick Paul, good player. Tommy Chabot?
Tommy Chabot, yes. Marcus Gibson's, though. Don't count Melnick out. Plenty of time to screw it up. So, yeah, anything can happen with that organization. Some would say, wait. What about Vancouver and their situation? A lot of texts coming in here. 650. A season ticket holder. My dad was one of them in the 70s. God bless them. Sure. Aquilino doesn't want to play for full staff management group and think he paid off the staff. Oh, somebody's saying the Canucks aren't spending to the T for their organization. I don't think they're paying callers on the postgame show. That is one take coming in. A bit of everything. Like I said, the text inbox has a bit of everything tonight.
It's wild tonight.
People wilding, man. Vic from Trail. Completely agree with Colton. Leave Green alone. The media is causing a lot of negativity around the team. Let them battle through this. That is Vic from Trail texting in. We'll go back to the phone board. 604-280-0650 or toll free. 1-888-275-0650. We'll go to Maple Ridge where Gary's been waiting patiently to get on. Gary, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, first of all, we didn't go into overtime, and that's a little plug for your producer that has a very good show with the three girls there. I just wanted to throw that in.
Oh, nice segue.
We all should appreciate their show, too. What I wanted to say was this, and I hope you can hear me properly. I'm a Toronto Blue Jays fan as well, and last year they were well below 500. Then they went on a hitting spree, so to speak. They won lots of games. They won games against New York, blah, 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 all the way through the whole season. And they didn't quite get there, but did we have fun watching it? You bet we did. And I tell you something, when you hear people flying all the way from Vancouver to Ottawa mm-hmm. to watch the game and they are enjoying it, isn't that what it's all about? It's not always about winning and losing. It's about enjoying yourself. And I thoroughly did tonight. And again, your producer's doing a bang-up job. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the phone call. That is Gary in Maple Ridge, and he's referring to OT with Lena, Caroline, and Lindsay. You can listen to on Sportsnet 650. Terrific show, and we'll keep you updated for when they're up next as well. And it can't. It's kind of apt, the Jays thing, a little bit, because the Jays had to go on this monumental run and just came up one game short in the end, right? And you kind of look back at it, and what we were saying was, man, they blew so many games early in the season. Had they won just one or two of those, maybe you have a different fate in the season. So Gary's kind of saying maybe the Canucks go on that type of run, but just kind of missed towards the end. But even to do that, Bic, we kind of went through the numbers earlier.
Astronomical run.
The Canucks have to pick up 65% of the possible points, no, 66% of the possible points moving forward to get to 94 points.
And there's what, 66 games remaining?
There's 58 games remaining.
Sorry, 58.
Yeah. So they got to pick up 76 points in their final 58 games. Just to get to 94, and that's just 94 points. So to answer the question, that's all I'm saying. Let's go back to the phone boards. We have Joe and Smithers on the line. Joe, thanks for calling in. Hope all is well. What do you have for us tonight?
Just a couple points here. Something that's been bugging me here for a little bit, especially over the last few weeks.
Okay.
You know, two things. First off, listen to these businessmen call in about their business wisdom and all their corporate policies and how they should apply to this team. And I understand sports is a business here. But when you're sitting there ragging on that and suggesting players like Horvat and Miller should be traded because they haven't scored a goal in the last six games and whatnot, it absolutely makes me sick. There's no relevance there. You can't compare the office to the NHL, okay? We're talking about the 750 top players in the entire world, and they're playing five players on the ice during the fastest game in the world, in between whistles. If you can get five guys in the office to work in sync like any NHL five players can, let me know, because I'm all ears. I'm just sick and tired of hearing it. There's zero relevance between the two. Number two, as an ex-player, it drives me mental to hear all these guys saying we work hard and we're not working hard enough, this, that, and the other thing. You know, I just asked them, you know, have they ever thrown up in the gym in the off season? Have they ever puked on the ice before, right? Where are they on Sundays when their buddies are out drinking at a barbecue? No, you're in the gym. You're working out 6 hours a day, your entire life for this. So I don't know any pro player I've ever played with that didn't have a work ethic that was 150% all the time. So that's all I wanted to say. I'll hang up for this. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the show.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. That is Joel and Smithers fired up and about it. So basically, everybody works hard. Don't talk about working hard. Everybody works hard about, you know, maybe you got to do a bit more than that. And as far as people calling in, hey, man, on sports talk show hosts, on sports talk shows, fans listen, fans have day jobs. They're going to apply their life skills and their experiences to the things they watch, whether that applies or not. That's just the reality, man. You know what I mean? And I understand it gets frustrating when teams losing, especially if you're a former player, you hear takes that you don't quite agree with. That's why we call them armchair GMs, armchair coaches. We play fun. We have fun with this game. We talk about it. And a lot of people on the outside looking in, yeah, they don't know everything that's going on. But that doesn't stop or prevent people from having an opinion, nor should it. It's an entertainment business. We're here to be entertained, entertain people, talk about it, have a good time about it for the most part.
Sorry, was he suggesting that players, it's difficult to work on the ice together? Or was he suggesting players or people in an offices don't work well together?
I think he was suggesting that people from the business community who call in,
right,
if they go, like, take those five people and try to run a team the way
people work. I hope it wasn't the former.
I think that's what he meant.
Because I hope it wasn't the former, because it's team sports, man. You're meant to play together. I get there's obstacles, but you're meant to play together. That's the whole point of all this.
Yeah.
And through 24 games, there's been maybe four games where the Canucks have played together. And teams that have success, we see it. They play together.
Mm-hmm.
And yes,
you got to be better.
The other part about working hard, as far as pro athletes, yes,
I agree with that. Look, like, just because you working hard is just the baseline you got to meet.
It's
of
so
course
difficult.
You got to work hard.
The phrase I actually hate is, "Oh, playing in the NHL is a privilege." No, it is so difficult to make it to any professional league. Athletes get privileges from their stardom, but to get to this level is so insanely difficult. This isn't like, oh, the coach looked upon them fondly, the inverse of, oh, I got screwed over by a coach. No, it is so difficult to A, locate these talents, and then for them to have the drive and the ambition to make it and stay in these talents. Now, as far as them competing amongst each other, that's why that phrase gets uttered of working hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about working hard to get into the NHL. It's Sidney Crosby works a little bit harder than Adam Gaudette. And that's why, A, outside of just talent, you know,
it's above and beyond.
Guys thrive.
Yeah.
And so how are you competing and how are you working hard in relation to each other? And too often this season, the Canucks have been outworked. You can just look at this and say, yeah, no matter, you know, so some guys put in their efforts. And yeah, you're going to get outclassed sometimes. But go look at that 7-1 game versus Colorado. Go look at the 7-4 game against Vegas. Anaheim, 5-1. They were getting outworked.
Those were games that were getting outworked. Now, just working hard, it just gets you through the door. That's it. Right? Keep your thoughts coming in. Pardeep says, Pettersson with a shade over 13 minutes of ice time. Michael Scott biting lip. This is the worst meme. That's Pardeep texting in. And also Emily texting in and says, why doesn't Travis just healthy scratch Pettersson for a game? His ice time is so low anyways. We didn't notice him as much tonight, but he only played 13-some minutes. He did pick up a point this evening as well, so he got an assist on the night. I don't know if healthy scratching him really is the key here. And I was a bit surprised, and I was kind of keeping an eye on this, and we talked to Randy about this on the pregame show, Bick. Based on Pettersson's ice time the last couple games, 13 minutes, he played a bit better the other game. Does Travis play him a bit more tonight? No, he essentially used that line as a fourth line.
Now, to be fair, result being what it was, do you need to roll guys out like that and, you know, risk injury? Usually when you're up, you're going to roll the lines a bit more graciously.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, other guys got more time than they normally would see. Someone like Justin Dowling would be around 7-8 minutes. Tonight he got 10 and change. So, you know, that's part of the equation too. They had such a lead. the result never really felt in doubt once Luke Shen got that gorgeous goal.
Yeah, and, gorgeous is right. It was beautiful.
And you just roll through the lines.
What a beautiful goal. Let's go back to the phone board. 604-280-0650 or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Let's go to Montreal where Ron is on the line. Ron, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind tonight?
You guys are scaring me. The way you're talking about Pedersen and his ice time and this and that, it sounds like the second coming of Louis Eriksson at this point.
No, please.
Let's not go through that. Right, but who would think that I'm calling you guys today with two games into a 50-game winning streak? But but before I make a point, I just want to tell you, normally when I call you, I usually rag on Hershey or Tyler Myers, but I actually have something good to say.
Oh,
in the pregame, Hershey was saying that Luke Shen is all defense and he scored like one goal in 2 years, never mind how many games, right? And like clockwork, as soon as he said it, guess who scores tonight? Luke Shen.
So you're saying it was the reverse curse or
something?
Keep up
the good work, Hershey.
Right.
And usually something, as far as Tyler Myers is concerned, usually I say something like, he's out of position so many times he probably recorded his sound check in the middle of a shift. But finally, he's using his talents for blocking Demko, for blocking Gustafsson, so Horvat can score. So keep up the good work there.
Yeah, awesome. No, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. We're up against the clock here. We got to go to break here in a second. But, there's been a lot of criticism for Tyler Myers, too. I see people texting in a lot about Tyler Myers as well. And I understand the contract, and he's got some moments. But am I crazy to suggest that he hasn't had as bad a year as people think he's had?
No, it just...
Like, I know he's had bad moments, no doubt. Right? Of course. He's struggled at times, like everybody else in the team has struggled. But like him and Holyall have actually been good as a D pair. They've had some games where they haven't been great together. But I don't know, man. Like I do think that this year the Myers criticism from his play, like you talk contract stuff, okay, different conversation. But just solely based on his play and how he's a big, big issue on this team, it's like the best Myers has played as a Canuck, probably.
It's take accumulation.
Yes, it is.
There was a lot of stretches where, hey, look, Tyler Myers has had rough moments.
Yeah.
Through his time as a Vancouver Canuck. I've kind of liked his play overall, but I understand, like, there's been flaws in it. And so now people don't want to extend the credit, because I think he has been good. And so when there are gaffes this season, and it hasn't been as many as people think, but when they do show up, people love to say, well, there's Tyler Myers all over again. But, yeah, he's been better than people realize so far this year. And he had an outrageous pass today. He hit Nils Höglander in stride, leaving the zone. And he's skating to his right towards the boards and flings it all the way across the ice to the other blue line on the left boards under pressure. And zone entry, comes across to Pearson, passes it over to OEL, who hit the bar. It was shortly after the 3-1 goal. And that all gets kickstarted by Tyler Myers with an unbelievable pass, splitting the forecheck.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that, he is capable of. We don't see enough of it. But Tyler Myers has been, as you were talking about earlier with OEL, not being a problem so far this year, I wouldn't look at Tyler Myers being a problem for the Vancouver Canucks this year.
No, I mean, has he been great? I wouldn't say great, right? Like, he's been fine. And if you look at, the role he's playing, the minutes he's playing, again, I'm not saying he's worth the money and worth the contract, but the level of criticism at him sometimes this year, I think, is, like you said, take accumulation more towards what he did last year as opposed to maybe what's going on right now. Keep those thoughts coming in, 650-650. Is this Myers' best year as a Canuck, is one unsigned text? I'd probably say, yeah. So far, this is the best he's played, at least the most steady he's been as a player for the team so far this season. I remember drawing up lines in preseason with PD as a first line center, Bo as a second line center, Miller possibly third. Did anyone see PD and Miller swapping? And that's essentially what happened. It's been one of those seasons, right? Where it's just...
JT Miller's been really good. 23 points in 24 games now. Scoring highlight reel goals. And by the way, just to update everyone on the poll question, who had the better goal tonight, JT Miller or Luke Shen? JT Miller running away with it.
Yeah.
67%. Give Luke Shen his credit, guys. Come on.
Yes. Luke Shen was great. This is that text I find interesting. Why have you stopped wailing on the coach and GM? In your mind, has nothing changed? We do a pre and post game show. Usually we talk about the game that happened, and we talked about big picture as well. But when they win hockey games, I'm not gonna sit here and yell.
We literally started the post game show with, I don't know how much this changes. And I understand. Look, people different listening habits.
Yeah, I get you.
The whole 2 hour of the post game show can't be, boy, this game didn't matter in the context of their jobs.
Nothing to see here. Now, we'll keep the conversation going on the other side. Keep your thoughts coming in. Ian McIntyre is going to join us as well as we roll on. Thanks to those listening on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Looking forward to talking to you when the Canucks take on the Pens on Saturday. More coming up on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're listening to the Kintech Footwear and Orthotics Canucks Postgame Show, bringing you the most Canucks coverage in BC, only on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably a big reason of why we haven't been winning hockey games is, you know, it's sometimes when guys are going through slumps, it's just one or two guys, and we find, you know, over these last, you know, 10 games where we haven't been getting the wins, you know, all of us are kind of stumped. And I said before that I'd be a lot more worried if we weren't getting our chances. Everybody's getting their chances. Best could have had three again tonight. Like, it's eventually the floodgates are going to open, and, you know, thankfully a couple of us got one tonight, and Petey got one the other night, and Best is going to come here soon.
Welcome back to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Canucks win, yes, two in a row. 6-2 over the Sens in Ottawa. Get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And Ian McIntyre is going to join us in about 14 minutes' time to break things down. We'll play some player audio coming up in a couple of minutes as well. But, Bick, before we go to the phone boards, what is going on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650?
Lots coming in here. Pricer says, perfect time to trade Miller. And this one, Myers is overpaid. I don't care. He's fine. Problem is the bottom pair. It's not bad. It's really bad. I love Shen. I think he's good for the room. You see how happy the boys are. He's elevating Quinn. That one's from Torgi. And then TJ texts in, congratulations to the Canucks who tonight laid down the hammer and put the NHL on notice that 29th place is securely theirs, and now they are the undisputed fifth best team in Canada. Great job, everyone, for beating the two teams below you in the standings. Looking forward to December 19th when the Coyotes will be the Canucks' next victim. So TJ is predicting a bit of a losing streak here prior to the Arizona Coyotes game.
Well, we'll see. I mean, hey.
That's winning, an eight-game losing streak.
Beating Ottawa and beating Montreal is what you should do, or one thing this team needed to do.
They needed to.
It's how you keep it going, right? Like that's what it comes down to. And I see a lot of texts and people saying that, yeah, sure, beat Pittsburgh, then we can talk a little bit, right? But hey, you can't have a three-game winning streak before winning those two first, and we'll see if they can actually do that on Saturday against the Penguins. We'll get back to more of your thoughts, but let's go back to the phone board, 604-280-0650. We go to Mission, where Earl is on the line. Earl, is this you, Earl from Mission, the Earl from Mission?
Yeah, it's the Earl from Mission. Wow. All fired up again.
Oh, there we go. You back to believing, my friend?
So you guys still counting down with me? I started at 154 games. I think we're down to 84 games till Horvat lifts the cup.
Oh, so you got 84 games. So you think it'll happen this year then?
Oh, yeah, of course. I called it last year. It's this year.
So they got 20.
And even though the stats are horrible, you know, we've only got, what, 8 wins? But Green's got a big test ahead of him because, you know, he's now lost a game in Pittsburgh and in Boston, games that we should have won. And now he's the home coach, and he's playing those same two teams. So if you want to see how good of a coach he is, those two games are going to be big for him.
Yeah, no question about it. So how excited are you? So you truly believe these two wins turned a corner here?
What's that?
You think they've turned a corner with these two wins?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, we've got 8 wins, and honestly, they didn't play well. Even in that first road trip, they didn't play well, and they still came out with, 6 points? you know, they didn't deserve to probably even have 6 points after that road trip. But you know what? The team is good. You know, I said last year that we only needed to trade four or get rid of four players, and all those four players, I didn't name them, but they're all gone, you know.
So you called it. Hey, Earl, thanks so much for your phone call. It's good to hear from you again. So positive Earl with a positive message. He believes and mentions you got to trade four players, and, you know,
some of those guys are gone.
Earl knew. At least about the trade, I guess.
We'll see about the remaining 58 games.
He said there is, yeah, he said they're going to, in 84 games, they'll win the Cup. So he's predicting like 26 games for the Canucks in the postseason. Is that even possible?
Yeah, 28.
Right, 28. There we go, 26. So yeah, that's a long playoff run.
So a couple of, yeah.
He called it. He hasn't been disproven yet. Has yet to be disproven. I'm just saying.
There is a alternate reality that exists where that happens. Yeah. It's on the realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
Right now.
Hashtag thank you Earl is one text. Torgi says, I wish I was as optimistic as Earl is in life in general. God bless you, Earl. That is Torgi texting in. Mike and Tawasin. This Canucks win means two means password every game day till we lose. Sorry, Sat. No.
I stepped out of the office for like 25 minutes and I came back. I left my phone here too. And I came back and my phone was like lit up. It's like, password's back! And I was like, whoa, what did I miss here?
You should have seen my reaction. I walked in, and I'm like in a good, you know, I'm hit or miss when it comes in, when it comes to my mood. Like, when I get on air, I'm fine, but sometimes, you know, I can be a little, you know.
Really?
No, I'm like, you know.
I had no idea. I thought you were always chipper.
Always? No, I mean, like, sometimes, you know, I'm talkative, sometimes not as much, but today I was in a good mood. I'm like, happy, I had yesterday off, I'm feeling excited, I walk in, I'm saying hi to people in the office. And then I hear clues.
Nobody could see, but you did the finger guns.
Yeah, here. That's how good I was feeling. That's how good I was feeling today. I was doing the big shooter thing. It was great. Like that, I was feeling it. I had all the vibes going in my way today. And then I hear yelling, like uncontrollable, like a childlike yelling from a panic room or something. So I knew Dan Riccio was introing password. And then I heard a bunch of dumb clues. I'm like, wait. Password's happening? I store them in. I couldn't believe
it. Don't.
But to answer Mike and Tawasin's question, I don't believe in that superstition stuff. So no password is happening on game days. Sorry.
No, just focus on your effort and the superstition will take care of itself.
Exactly. Your superstition should be your hard work. Yeah. If you don't work hard and deliver every day, that's it. Mike says, you got to have the My Name is Earl draw from TV every time your boy Earl calls in. Yeah, man, Earl believes. Peter, however, Lord, the level of delusion. Peter is aging with every call and positive text, because every time somebody texts or says something positive, Peter gets really worked up over it. I understand what's going on right now with the fan base. Kind of, you know, people that want the wins, you know, they're not quite there. We're going to talk about what Quinn Hughes had to say today. He had a one-on-one conversation with Thomas Rantz. It's in The Athletic. Some really interesting thoughts. We'll get to that coming up in a second. But we did promise we're going to play some player audio. And Luke Shen, well, he scored one of the goals of the year for the Canucks. And here he is talking about the goal he scored tonight in the 6-2 win.
Yeah, it was just, you know, good clean faceoff win. And, you know, Huggy snapped it over. And you know, I just tried to kind of move my feet a little bit and had a step on the guy, and a bit of a chip shot over the glove there. And, you know, they don't happen very often. I don't know when's the last time I would have scored one like that, but usually I'm, you know, checking to see who shin pad went off of before it goes in. So I was lucky to get one like that tonight.
What was the reaction of your teammates when you score a goal like that?
I think they're happy, probably a bit of shock. but no, like I said, you know, it was a good win tonight. Obviously, the trip didn't start off the way we would have liked, but, you know, winning the last two, we can go home a little bit happier, and hopefully we can build on that. And, you know, it was good to get one at the end of the period and have a little bit of a cushion going into the third.
How nice was it to be able to win it on the last minute?
Yeah, I mean, you know, usually we've been in so many tight one goal games, it's a different feeling to have a little bit of breathing room. Obviously, you know, in the third period, it hasn't happened for us obviously very often, and you know, to have that tonight was obviously a nice cushion. And you know, just on top of that too, when guys, you know, get on the score sheet, it builds a little confidence, and hopefully, you know, guys can carry that momentum, and guys feel a little better about themselves. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those nights where we got some bounces, I think, in the last few games. Maybe we haven't got as many bounces, and it's just one of those nights where we're fortunate.
You know, it's still a losing road trip, just two wins. But, you know, you probably should have won it. Columbus could have won in Boston. What's the feeling like now on the team versus, say, after that Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, it's a bit of a... Obviously, it wasn't a great start to the trip by any means. And then, like you said, in Columbus, we... You know, we played a pretty good game there, and even talking to guys in Columbus after the game, some players, they knew that they stole one, and, you know, sometimes it happens the other way around. So, you know, their goalie was on that night, and you got to tip your hat. So the next night in Boston, too, obviously had some looks, had some chances, and, you know, in the third period, obviously special teams burned us. So, you know, all in all, I think there's obviously a lot of room for improvement. Special teams is one of them, and you know, for the most part, I think we're defending decent, and, you know, nice to, for the puck to go in tonight, obviously, and like I said, guys can hopefully you know, feel a little better about themselves and, you know, not have to try to grind those 2-1 games out.
Luke Shen scores a goal tonight, the game winner, as the Canucks beat the Ottawa Senators 6-2 and win two straight games, only for the second time this season. It is a Canucks Central postgame show presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. 650-650 is our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. They're called stupid stitions. I agree with you, Terry and Mission, who text in about the superstition stuff, because Mike and Tawasan said you guys played Password. And I will say I did not play Password. I was not on the show when Password was played.
No.
So that's just the reality of it. But it's not happening again. It's not. I'm just here to tell you this. Adam Gaudette is texting in and says, Sat, this is why you need to carry the rock crystals. I promise you'll never hear Password again.
Another unsigned text here. Fellas, love watching the team win. Want them to succeed. My only concern with them winning is that our delusional owner is going to think, okay, they're starting to win and may not have to make changes until the offseason.
Well, we will find out. And I'm not sure they're there, but we will see what happens here the next couple of days. Could be a couple of interesting days here in Vancouver. Now, we talked, we heard Luke Shen and his D partner, Quinn Hughes, quietly put up 4 points this evening. Tremendous night from the young defenseman. And it was interesting reading Thomas Drance's article in The Athletic. He had a chance to talk to Quinn Hughes, Bic, and there was a lot of conversation this offseason, right, about the contract that Quinn signed and Pedersen signed, why it took so long for this to get figured out. And we had heard from both sides of the players that, hey, these things happen. They're all happy to be here. Nobody said anything about the negotiations. But I know you have the quote ready there, Bic. You can read it here in a second. But it was interesting when Quinn was asked about Jack Hughes, his brother in New Jersey, who just signed an 8-year contract worth $8 million. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, and look, I'm. It's obviously difficult, right? It's two guys that are very, very close, and you're going to support your brother. And when you get your big contract and your brother gets another big contract, you're gonna. It is fun, but I think the way the two processes played out, obviously, is vastly different. And we saw Jack Hughes kind of get his injury and then work his way through it, and then he comes back and he signs his big deal. And so, you know, Quinn was going to have thoughts on it.
Yes, and I have the quote here. And essentially, he was asked about, as his biggest fan, do you look at his deal and think New Jersey is going to have a steal on their hands? And this is what Quinn Hughes says, and I quote, I think yes, but I also know it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money they committed to him, and they didn't have to do that. They could have busted his balls, made him wait for the summer, or made it hard on both parties. They didn't want to do that. They came to him and wanted to make a deal. That is something he's thankful for, and that is something that has to be, I don't know if respected is the word, or looked at. Priced in? Yeah, exactly. That's quality of them. He might be beyond that number in 5 or 6 years. He might not be. I think he's going to be a really good player, but time will tell. He's well on his way. He's doing really well right now. He just has to keep it going. But this is the part. They could have busted his balls, made him wait for the summer, or made it hard on both parties. They didn't want to do that. They came to him and wanted to make a deal.
That's a conversation we had all summer long, is to what level do you want to nickel and dime your star-level players? Their contracts are important. And I understand, hey, you don't want to leverage yourself poorly and you want value-based contracts. But why are you prioritizing these two players to find your value in? To say, hey, we're going to nickel and dime you, but Tanner Pearson, 3-year deal. Travis Hamonic, here's another extension, 2-year deal. Brandon Sutter, we got to sort you out. Your meal tickets are these players. And Sat, prior to the deadline, like I joke, like this is the reason why you take care of these guys as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They are your foundation. You don't go buy the cabinets first and then say, hey, I wonder where we're going to put these. You build the foundation, you build the house, and then you put everything else in there.
I don't necessarily disagree about that. Now, the thing I will say from the team side is that when it comes to their agency, that they tried numerous times, and one team source told me, and hey, listen, it's he said, she said, yes, on both sides, right? That they put offers in front of them earlier and never heard from them for months. They were trying earlier to make a deal, and they weren't hearing from the player's side. We know the player's side would have more leverage if they got the training camp because they had two players they were negotiating with. So I agree with you. And I do think when you look at the entire situation, it is more important to take care of your best players. Based on what Quinn Hughes is saying, it seems like there are some, you know, like, you know, he's throwing a little bit of shade at it, right? So you're kind of wondering, how did Quinn feel? How did Pettersson feel about not having their contracts done sooner? Well, that answer he gave about Jack Hughes gives you a bit of an indication.
Treat your superstars like superstars.
Right.
I think that's all right. I know preferential treatment and people frown upon it. It's okay to treat your superstars like superstars.
Well, and that's what we do to Ian McIntyre, the superstar that joins the post-game show. And we can't play the intro for him tonight because we're short on time with Ian. And we will play the intro in its full glory when we have a bit more time with Ian McIntyre, who is in Ottawa, watching the Canucks win against the Sens 6-2. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing well. But before we talk about the game, I'm going to jump into your conversation about Jack Hughes' contract and Quinn Hughes' comment. So you're telling me to treat Quinn like a superstar? The Canucks should have done, say, 8 times. What would be the Jack Hughes equivalent? 8 times 10, 8 times 9.5 a year ago. That would be treating him like a superstar, but you'd end up with an awfully bad contract, which is probably what possibly what New Jersey is going to end up with here.
Right. Now, this is based on what, and I'll read you the quote in case
I saw it.
Right.
Yeah. It was in Thomas Drantz had it, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. So, yeah, it was interesting, like I said, we were wondering what their feelings are. And when Quinn answers that question in that way, does that kind of show that there's some hard feelings on his side? And like I was mentioning to Bick, there takes two sides in these negotiations, right? And I know I've talked to people with the team that said they tried to do this earlier, and it was hard for them to get answers back from the agent side. So there's a lot that happens in these negotiations. But does that hint towards some frustration based on how those negotiations went from Quinn?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be human nature for them to be frustrated that they were missing the start of training camp and the start of preseason because they didn't have contracts. Like, I don't blame them at all. I'd be frustrated too, but this is the business that they are in. And in terms of the play, I mean, I think Quinn Hughes, and I said it the other night on TV, I think he's had a very solid season. I probably am higher on him than most people for his overall game, how he's improved his defensive play and is still getting points and, you know, playing a ton, of course. So, you know, is he frustrated? You know, was Bo Horvat frustrated? Was Brock Besser frustrated? Yeah, they probably all were. Everybody would like to have the peace of mind going in the summer before your contract, the next one starts, to have that peace of mind of knowing that it's secure and you can enjoy yourself. But that's just not the reality all that often. It does happen some, but I think most people would say in hockey that right now, Jack Hughes' contract is an outlier. Like he, you know, both in terms of its value for what he's accomplished so far and how soon it was offered to him. So that's not the norm. And to get back to the point about frustration, Quinn Hughes hasn't been frustrated at all. Is it bothering Elias Pettersson? Well, maybe it is. You know, maybe it is a factor. And maybe had the Canucks gotten something done sooner, they'd be playing better, or at least Pettersson would, but maybe he wouldn't. But let's also remember that this was two cornerstone players represented by the same agency with a finite amount of money available, and they couldn't both get long-term deals due to poor spending in other areas by the Canucks. So, you know, this was just the reality of the landscape this summer. And you know, I admire Quinn Hughes for the way he's playing. From what I can see, Ilias is really working hard and has embraced this lesser role for now. And I think he's showing signs of coming out of it as well.
So, Ian, couldn't it be argued that the poor spending limited their own earning potential, and that's why they had to run it as late as possible? Yeah. Like that's part of this as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. The Canucks didn't have the money to do two long-term deals because they'd spent too much of it on players who were mistakes.
Yeah, and, you know, ultimately, I know a lot of people are also asking, it's like, oh, do these two wins mean that, you know, these decision makers are going to remain in charge or whatever?
No, it doesn't. All it does is ease the tension around the team.
Precisely.
A little bit. Allows everybody to take a few deep breaths, enjoy, you know, the fun of things like Luke Shen's goal and JT Miller's goal, and just, you know, feel good about themselves. But no, it doesn't change much.
Ultimately, we'll see what happens here the next couple of days ahead of Saturday's game against the Pens and how the fans react on home ice against with the team back in the building again. But based on how they played the last two games and the two victories, lower opponents, but hey, you can only play the games you're forced to play in front of you, and they won those two. Are they trending in a good enough direction that on Saturday we might see a better product, or are you a bit, you know, still dicey about what we might see on Saturday?
Yeah, you just never know, because at times this season, and the Pittsburgh game was a great example. You know, the Canucks, they didn't get the results they wanted on that previous homestand, but towards the end of it, they should have. I make it sound like it's a long one. It was only three games, but you know, they should have beaten Chicago at the end. They beat Winnipeg before that. They should have had a little more momentum coming into the trip, but they seemed to be playing better, and then they were awful at the start in Pittsburgh, and now they've been good for four games. So I think, and talking to Travis Green a little bit on this trip, he's pretty pleased overall with how the team is playing. Like he doesn't feel, and I think that his quote tonight was, you know, to the effect that it's not like we've been losing badly and getting badly outscored, or at least that was the gist of what he was saying. You know, they've lost so many of these close games while getting almost nothing, and I mean that literally, almost nothing from their top four forwards. And so I think he, as a coach, is pretty obviously not satisfied with the results, but I think he's pretty satisfied with how his team has been playing. But they have to now start turning that into victories. Like we all know, there's no such thing as a moral victory anymore. You can have some moral victories in the first 2 weeks of the season. After that, you need real victories, and they just haven't had enough of them. Now they've got two at the end of a road trip where they could have had four, minimum should have had three, because they were by far the better team in Columbus. But now they've got to do it on home ice, and they've got to maintain this level of play game after game after game while trying to win a lot more than they lose. And we'll see if they can do it. I think that they've been playing pretty well here, but now they got to, you know, go home, and there's going to be more pressure and more attention, and we'll see what it's like. But, you know, in that last homestand, other than the first game back after that horrendous three-game road trip where they were outscored 19-6. There was the crisis summit between Aquilini and Benning, and then the game and the fire Benning chants. And I think the fire Benning chants were actually before the summit crisis. I think they're at a better place now than they were coming home from that trip. But it still is all about the results and performance. So they have to keep maintaining it.
Trivia time, Ian.
All right, lay it on me.
Who and when was the last Canucks D-man to have a 4-point night like Quinn Hughes had tonight?
Well, I'm not going to get the when, because I'm just going to be guessing about a defenseman. It wasn't Brent Sopel, was it?
It was Alex Edler in 2009 against the Blackhawks.
Oh, I wasn't that far away. Brent Sopel had some crazy game in Carolina. I can't remember what he had, but
what
anyway,
was
so 2009. Yeah, Alex Edler.
But was tonight that like was, a quiet 4-point night for Quinn?
Yeah, it was. But again, I think he's been playing well for a while now. I also saw that he was plus three. I haven't looked at his fantasy numbers. If you want one, you can look it up on Natural Stat Trick. But he, you know, he was embarrassed by his plus minus. And I know some people right now are yelling, don't talk about plus minus. But when I talked to Quinn Hughes about it, that's what he referenced. And, you know, his dash, as the players call it, and his dash, I think, dash 24 last year. He was embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
And was determined that he was going to be better from that part standpoint. In fact, he said to me, and this is going back a couple of weeks, but he said, you know, the first 10 games he wouldn't have cared if he had a point, as long as he didn't get scored on. Well, he got scored on a couple of times, but he had far more points than that. And I think his 5-on-5 goals are really impressive compared to what they were a year ago. Everything's impressive to me anyways, from what Quinn Hughes was a year ago. He's gone from below 500 Corsi to well above his scoring chance, or the 5-on-5 goal ratio is way up. The scoring chances are a lot better. And the category where he was still just slightly below 50 was the high danger ones. And that's partly a reflection of mm-hmm. the weak assortment of partners he's been playing with. That when he goes up the ice, often, you know, they're caught behind, you know, because he doesn't get to play with Chris Tanev anymore. But I think he's been good to exceptional for most of this season, and maybe more good than exceptional. And maybe the exceptional, when he has been that, hasn't really stood out because it's been so awful mm-hmm. around him. But I really think he's having a good season. And if the team gets better, and who knows what we'll see in this final three quarters, but if the team starts scoring and they at least start to get better results, probably his numbers are only going to get better as well. Because he's done all this in the middle of, you know, a catastrophe, essentially. And I'm sorry, I hate using words like that. I shouldn't use a word like that with what's going on in BC right now. Mm-hmm. But it you know, this is an epically bad start for the hockey team, and yet Quinn Hughes is still putting up very good numbers.
Well, and, you know, Quinn and Luke Shen have really found something as a pairing as well. They've been really solid together in recent games. And, you know, you asked about the metrics and the shot metrics. Well, when Quinn Hughes was on the ice at even strength, almost 70% of the shots were in the Canucks' favor. And very similar with Luke Shen next to him. So it just shows you how dominant Quinn Hughes was. And with the way Luke Shen's playing, he's not coming out of the lineup either. So if Hamonic is good to go for Saturday's game...
Tucker Pullman comes out.
Do you think it's him or Kyle Burrows?
Well...
Because, I mean, Pullman played more than anybody on the PK tonight.
Yeah, I haven't really tracked how Pullman is on the left side. So, yeah, you're probably right. Probably it's Kyle Burrows. I think it should be Pullman, though.
I don't disagree.
I'm going to swing back to Hughes just because while you were talking, I was looking up. Mm-hmm. So he's got 20 points now in 23 games, which is a phenomenal pace. Like, you know, that'll be a record-breaking pace for a Canucks defenseman over the last 51 years if he maintains it. But think about this. Brock Besser hasn't scored in 12 games. Horvat has 2 in 12.
Yeah.
Pettersson has 1 in 11. The goal tonight by Miller, I think, was his first in 9. Can you imagine how many more points Quinn Hughes would have in assists if those guys were finishing? And if the power play wasn't mired near the bottom of the NHL as well. Like, there's... there's a very high ceiling. Well, I don't know what the ceiling is on Quinn Hughes, but he could get a lot better yet, and certainly his offensive numbers could get even gaudier than they've been.
Hey, really quickly, because we do have to go, who had the better goal
tonight?
Yeah,
sorry I wasted so much time jumping into your contract talk. But
it's fantastic.
We were actually going to ask you about that, so it was fine.
Okay.
Who had the better goal tonight, JT or Luke Shen?
Ooh. Well, I'm going to go with Luke Shen.
Yeah!
Because he said himself, this only happens once every 10 years. Because his last goal like this was against Tim Thomas. And as he said that, he said, yeah, I know I'm dating myself, Tim Thomas. So he figures that his next goal like this will come when he's 42. Because he's 32 now. So that would be 10 years. So if it, for a goal that rare for that guy, I'm going to go with him over JT. Because JT can do. He can do pretty amazing things on almost any night.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible goal by JT Miller. But yeah, none of us, we got way more hyped when we saw that goal from Luke Shen tonight. Ian, always a pleasure. Make sure to read Ian's latest on Sportsnet.ca. You can hear him on Sportsnet 650 throughout the week. And also you see him on TV regularly, also on Hockey Night in Canada every once in a while. And Ian's going to
love that. I've been on Hockey Night in Canada once, but it's now part of my bio. I love it.
That's great. I mean, hey. Facts only. You've been on Hockey Night in Canada. You worked for Hockey Night in Canada. All right, Ian, we look forward to chatting with you as well on Saturday when the Canucks host the Pens.
Yeah, I've missed you guys out here on the road. It'd be nice to see you back in the Jim Robson gondola.
It'll be delightful. Like I as much as this team struggled, I have missed being at the rink. It's not the same watching it at
just
the rink.
Stop.
No,
just
no,
stop.
Seriously. I really miss being at the rink as opposed to doing the games from the station.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I thought you were saying you miss me.
Well... No, that'd be a lie.
Even I don't miss me.
You're a byproduct of the rink.
Yeah.
Well, we get to see each other six times now. Let's go.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Ian. That is Ian McIntyre. Make sure to read his latest on sportsnet.ca. A lot of great reaction tonight from our callers and also on the text inbox and on Twitter and everybody listening. Really appreciate you listening and interacting with us every single game. Can't wait to do this again on Saturday when the Canucks take on the Pittsburgh Penguins from home. Pre-game show gets going at 6, but pre-game all day on Sportsnet 650. He's Bick Nizar. You can listen to him Monday to Friday on Sportsnet Today, 12 to 3, including Canucks Central at noon on game days. And I'm Satyar Shah, alongside Dan Riccio and Randy Bjando on The People Show, Monday to Friday, 3 to 7. And I'll be back with Bick on Saturday. Are you working Saturday?
I am.
All right. Well, you and I on Saturday when the Canucks play the Pittsburgh Penguins. Thanks, Josh Elliott Wolf, Alina, and everybody else working hard behind the scenes to get this broadcast going. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, keeping you active on your feet for life. Coming up next, Giants hockey right here on Sportsnet 650.